Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Let's
get it started. Welcome to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. It's been anything different. I'm giving the intro today. A lot of pressure, but I think I got through it okay. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up there, Xander? Great. Intro's good. What's up, everybody? It's great to be, always great to be here. So we thought we'd switch things up a little bit today. So what's going on, my brother?
You know what? Not much. I mean, we're getting into the heat of summer here. It's beautiful June 4th, Saturday. We got a lot of good stuff going on in sports. And the first thing I wanted to talk about, I'm going to give myself a little pat on the shoulder here for saying no fear that the Golden State Warriors would come back and win that series against the Thunder. And I know the games were pretty close, but, you know, I called it when they were down 3-1. I said they're going to win this series, and they're going to win it relatively easy. And I know that the games down the stretch were pretty tight, but when it mattered the most in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, Golden State pulled away, and the Thunder collapsed. They flat-out collapsed. And I think I have a right to say that, you know, being up 3-1, you know, on Golden State, I mean, it's no small task even to win that series, to win one more game, because they are the defending world champions. They just set, you know, the record for the best regular season of all time. So this team is no slouch. But for you to be up 3-1 and have a game locked up, you know, at home in game six, and turn over the ball six times in the last 2 minutes and let the Warriors go, I think it was on like a 16-4 run, I thought it was terrible. But I'm glad that I was right, because I thought the Warriors were going to pull away, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, I'll give you one more kudos, because you picked Oklahoma State way back when, before the playoffs even started, and then you did switch and they were up 3-1, and of course Oklahoma State's got to be wondering what the hell happened.
Oklahoma City.
Well, same area. Oklahoma City, they got to be wondering what the hell happened to them, because they were certainly collapsed. I mean, this could be one of the biggest meltdowns ever.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was weird. It was like, you know, they won game one, and, you know, even though I wanted to see the Thunder win, I honestly did. I really wanted to see Durant make it to the finals. But even after game one, you know, we're sitting there, the Golden State more or less blew that game, I think. I mean, they were up 10 points three separate times in the third quarter and found a way, you know, down the stretch to basically pitch the game away. And I left saying, you know, it just doesn't feel right that they're going to lose this series still. And they ended up getting down 3-1, and I still had that same feeling. You know, obviously I didn't know it was going to be right 100% of the time, but, you know, I just had a feeling that, you know, when push came to shove, that Golden State was going to turn it on when they needed to the most, and that the Thunder were going to fold, and that's what they did. I mean, game six, I can't quite remember if it was game six or game seven, but whatever the case, you know, chance to win the series, and Russell Westbrook in the last minute 30, this is such a telling stat. In the last minute 30 of the game, the guy had 4 turnovers in a row, and it had 1 turnover the entire game before that. I mean, watching the last 2 minutes of that game, as a sports fan, I wanted to throw up, because I think 6 possessions in a row, I think the Thunder turned over the ball and gave it back to Golden State when they were still in the game, and it was just, you know, there's a harrowing feeling for the Thunder that they came this close and were one game away and had a chance to win it at home. I mean, I really thought that, you know, they had to win game five. That was my prediction. They had to win that in Golden State. And they just didn't do it. But on the other side of the coin, let's give some props to Golden State. I mean, they never backed down. You know, even down 3-1, I thought they were in control of the series. And, you know, Game 7, they came out to play. And I got to give credit to the Thunder. I thought they were going to lay down in Game 7. And not to say, you know, you'd like a team to ever do that, but I think after that balloon really popped in Game 6 at home, and then to go to Golden State in Game 7, I thought it was going to be an awful tall task for them. They came out, and for the most part, I thought they put out a good effort. I just don't think they were as good of a team. And at the end of the day, Golden State moves on. And you know what? I'm not even excited for the NBA Finals. I saw Game 1, and I saw Steph Curry and Klay Thompson put up a combined 20 points, and I saw the Cavs lose by 13. I mean, if I were to tell you that after Game 1, you're the Cavs, that Steph Curry, the reigning MVP, and Klay Thompson, probably the second-best shooter in the league, are going to combine for 20 points, like, would you not say take that 100% of the time if you're the Cavs?
Well, I actually thought that if the Cavs were going to win a game in Golden State, I really thought they would have won on Thursday. In fact, not only did I think they would have won, but I actually used them in a parlay in the money line, thinking that that would be the game. I mean, as I've thought now, listen, I could be wrong, but as I've thought from the beginning, Golden State was the best team. They're going to win. And you know, look, I know Cleveland's not going to lay down like Oklahoma City did, but I think that, I don't know, that was a huge big game for Cleveland to go and get. And not getting it, I think, might be a bigger problem for them in the long term. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I called this before the series started. I thought it was going to end in five. I just don't think... I think the Golden State is just such a superior team to the Cavs. I don't know. I think the Cavs, you know, at their best night, might have a better top three players. It's very arguable. I mean, I definitely don't want to take anything away from Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green. But I think their overall team is just better. And that's what really showed in Game 1. I mean, the Cavs' game plan, obviously, was to make life as difficult for Curry and Thompson as possible, and that's exactly what they did. Combined 20 points. I mean, you know, if you were going to tell me the two combined for 35 or 40, I would have still taken that if I were the Cavs. But the difference in the game was the Warriors' bench. I mean, they just absolutely annihilated the Cavaliers, and that's why this game was such a shit show. I mean, it was a 20-point game in the third quarter. You know, the Cavs had a chance to come out and make it a tight one, and you know, I didn't start watching until the fourth quarter because I was playing softball, but I thought it was supposed to be a pretty good game. I get to this kid's house, it's a 20-point game, and the Cavs made a little comeback, I think cut it within 10, but it just wasn't, from the highlights I saw and from the fourth quarter, it just wasn't that good of a game. And I think you got to give a lot of the credit to the Warriors bench. I mean, they stepped up when their best players weren't playing at their peak. And I mean, that's what a good team does. And I think that's what really separates Golden State, is that they can do that. They can have a bad night from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and, you know, come out on top. And I think, you know, you look at LeBron's stat line, you know, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. It's a great line.
Not if you lost, it's not a great line. And I will say this, okay? Everybody talks about Cleveland's big three. I don't look at them as a big three. As far as I'm concerned, Kevin Love has never done jack, okay? He's a stat machine in the regular season, always has been, even in college. And Kyrie Irving's never played a full year, and he wasn't that great at Duke. I mean, I don't know when he became the greatest player of all time, but I don't see them as a big three. I still think it's a one-man band. And I think that that Golden State is much more than that. I mean, hell, Draymond Green is better than anybody LeBron's got, and you've got Klay Thompson, you got Steph Curry, of course, and the rest of the cast. I mean, to me, not even close. Again, I think that Kevin Love is the guy you see in the State Farm commercial, the little baby in the baby bucket. So, I mean, that's what I see. But we are here. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're going to step out of here for a break. But make sure, if you ever miss an episode of either the Sporting Edge or the Bubba Show, go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Mike, you don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no.
And we're back. The Sporting Edge, Xander and Bubba. So, Bubba, we were kind of going over Game 1 of... Cavs Warriors, talking a little bit about LeBron, and, you know, Cavs lost. It wasn't a great game, and I think, you know, I brought up, I thought LeBron, you know, look from an outside perspective, almost had a triple-double, decent game, but I think the numbers behind the scenes really tell the story. I mean, really did not shoot well in the restricted area, went 6 of 14. I mean, a guy like LeBron has got to make those shots. It was just 9 of 21 from the field. You know, I didn't think it was that great of a game. He had 5 turnovers as well. And like you said, I mean, Cleveland is more or less a one-man show. I mean, it starts and ends with LeBron. He's the true quarterback, I think, of any team. When you look at any NBA team, he's the closest thing, I think, it comes, you know, to a quarterback, because it's everything starts and ends with him. So if he's clicking, you know, things are going well. But, you know, we saw last year, I mean, the guy had one of the best performances in NBA Finals series ever. And I know they lost 4-2, but for a single man performance, it was, you know, nothing short of one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. And this year, you know, I know he's got Kevin Love back. I know he's got Kyrie Irving healthy, but I have the same feeling that, you know, this is going to be a blowout. And I basically got my finals, my NBA finals, with Spurs Thunder in the second round and Thunder Warriors in the conference finals round. That's how I feel.
I'm in 100% agreement with you. I mean, I thought that was it. I thought that was the case, and I was a little concerned with Golden State, but of course they pulled that they were champions, and you know, they did a good job, and you know, so we moved on. And then of course we've got you know, this will be a, I think it'll be a grind. I don't think it's gonna be a very good series.
Yeah, and neither do I, but you know, I'll keep watching the games, and, you know, I'll probably see Steph Curry hoist that trophy one more time and see LeBron, you know, right off in the sunset. I don't think it's going to be too long before, you know, the new true face of the NBA is going to be Steph Curry. You know, I think he's more taking the reins from LeBron, which is, you know, not a thing any guy of that stature likes to see. But, you know, I digress. And we move on to a little talk about FIFA and a bonus scandal that involved the past president, Sepp Blatter. Talks of $80 million in phony bonuses by the FIFA president, the former FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, the former Secretary General, Jerome Valk, and the former Chief Financial Officer, Marcus Kattner. And the funny thing about these bonuses is that they were all approved by each other. How wonderful is that?
Well, I mean, you know, they've always been about, you know, there's so much crooked stuff going on in sports, and there's so much money involved. I mean, you know.
Right, but I think the most crooked is got to be FIFA and what they've got going on over there.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, there are so many things we never hear about that I can't. Obviously, I've never followed FIFA other than the noise and what we've heard recently. But, you know, when I look at it, I mean, you know that it used to be, well, you don't know, but way back in the day, they could get to a player, they could get to an official, because there wasn't that much money. Now it's the owners or the officials or the inside guys that are stealing all the money now. So
yeah, I mean, and I just think it's kind of funny how, you know, it's a huge, you know, scandal. I think it came out almost 2 years ago now with Sepp Blatter, you know, with the laundering money and the mismanagement of funds. And I think it just, it kind of sheds a little light, because I, like you said, no idea how deep that runs, but I just think, you know, soccer being the biggest sport in the world and predominantly much bigger on the other side of the ocean, a lot of corruption, a lot of money. And because soccer, I think, you know, person per person is the most popular sport in the world. And you know,
football, it is the most popular sport in the world. It's the most highly populated, and it is. But it's not the most popular sport in the United States, because you can't bet on it like you can bet on a football game. Simple. It's as simple. It's as simple as that.
All right. The MLS is nowhere near as fun to watch as the Premier League and all those other leagues. But I wanted to take a little time and send my thoughts and prayers to Danny Everett. Danny Everett was a freshman pitcher at Vanderbilt University who tragically passed away in a drowning incident last Thursday, right before Vanderbilt was about to open regional. Apparently, you know, he was out fishing with a couple teammates and a couple friends, and, you know, was out in the water and apparently just, I guess, couldn't swim very well and, you know, didn't come up from the surface after a while. And, you know, the police were called, divers found his body. But you know, I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to the family of Danny Everett and, you know, the Vanderbilt baseball community. It's always tough losing someone, especially someone at such a young age. in an accident like that, you know, there's really not much else to say about it except, you know, you try to move on and you play in remembrance of him. But I didn't know the kid, but, you know, reading up on him, it seems like, you know, it was a great kid and, you know, was going to be a pro prospect.
Yeah, and it's always sad. And, of course, Muhammad Ali in the hospital, and then, you know, after, you know, with his Parkinson's and everything else, I mean, he's obviously he's older and he's, you know, been through a lot, you know, taking enough hit. So our thoughts for him and where he's at. You know, but that's always a tough thing. You know, you don't obviously remember Muhammad Ali from his Cassius Clay days, and then when he dodged the draft. But one of the true, real sportsmen in the world, and really a great overall guy. So we hope his family, wish for his family as well.
Right, and so let's talk a little bit about the NFL now. I read a story today about Sam Bradford cementing his number one status on the depth chart with the Eagles, and those are words coming straight from the mouth of Doug Peterson, the new head coach over there. And you know what? I'm not sold on Sam Bradford. If you know, we roll the tape back a year. I was all the love in the world for Sam Bradford. I thought he was going to be a top 10 fantasy QB. Really, you know what? He really did me one on that one. It was pretty brutal last year, I thought. And I just don't think this situation is just made to work out. I mean, you remember Sam Bradford signed that huge contract in March. Then they drafted Carson Wentz at number two. He said he wanted to be traded, requested a trade, didn't show up for the first couple weeks to OTAs. Then he came back. Now the coach says he's the number one guy. And I think this whole thing is marinating to become a disaster in Philly because I really don't think they're going to be that great this year. And when your team is struggling and you drafted a quarterback, you know, with your first pick, like, literally at the beginning of the first round, everybody in the world's calling for Carson Wentz, I think, by game 6 or 7 this year. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Sam Bradford, I don't think he'll make it through the year once again. I was never a fan, as you know.
Knock on wood.
Well, I mean, I don't wish him any bad luck. I mean, but I have never been a fan of Sam Bradford. I didn't like him that much at Oklahoma when he won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, he does not strike me as a guy that can go out there and get it for me. That's what, when I look at a guy, I want to what I think is a true warrior, and not that he's not, but he's never proven it to me, and there's always something wrong. And to me, so at some point, you know, you have the Brett Favre or the Tony Romo look about you, and be able to, even for a while, grab that team. And he's never been able he's never been able to lift that team up. And any team he's been on, including Oklahoma, I know he won the Heisman Trophy, but again, you know, they play these weaker schedule. Anyways, you got a lot of stat stuffing games in there as well. And, you know, so to me, you know, maybe it's a smokescreen. Maybe they really want to trade him. I don't know. You know,
well, I don't think they're going to trade him. They just signed into the extension. So I don't really know what the thought process was. I mean, maybe they want to pull, you know, like an Aaron Rodgers and, you know, let Carson Wentz get some time, you know, behind the bench a little bit and see what the game is like. But I just don't see it really happening that way. I mean, I think the Eagles are the fourth best team in their division. You know, we look at the Cowboys, and the Cowboys' success hinges on Tony Romo's health, which I'm going to assume if he stays healthy, the Cowboys are probably going to win that division. You had the Redskins, who made the playoffs last year, and an up-and-coming, if he's not already here, Kirk Cousins, proving to be a very adequate and above-average quarterback in the NFL. And you've got a Giants team with a new head coach, with a little bit of a new-look defense, and Eli Manning coming off the best 2-year stretch of his career. And then you've got the Eagles, who have underperformed
who
the
suck.
Last 2 years.
The Eagles suck. We don't have to underperform. They suck. They don't have very good athletes, and Chip Kelly, in his own style, cleaned out some of the better athletes because he didn't like their attitude, and that's really what he did. But, you know, hey, that's football. That's the way it goes, and that's why football is, out of all the sports, the toughest, because you don't get those guaranteed contracts. But we're going to have to step out of here for a break. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And remember, you missed an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download every podcast of The Sporting Edge as well as The Bubba Show. And, of course, as we get closer again to getting back in pads, we get back into our handicapping hats on, where we do a little bit more actively handicap and sports investing. But for now, we're going to step out for a break. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
And we're back, and we're going to hit all the sports today. Let's talk a little tennis. French Open coming up. We got Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic. Djokovic going for the career Grand Slam. Has been in the French Open title three times, has lost all three. And this is big for both guys. I mean, Andy Murray has never won the French Open either. So this is a pretty prolific match against two of the guys who have been around for a long time. I mean, I know tennis very rarely gets mentioned on this show, but I think for an event of this magnitude, I thought we could give it a little shout-out. My personal opinion, I think Djokovic takes it. I think he's still the best player in the world, and I think, you know, he's proven that, you know, for the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. He's been that guy, and I think he gets the career Grand Slam. Do you have any thoughts on the match, or who are you taking? Who's your toss-up?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously I might watch Wimbledon because it's on early in the morning once in a while, but, you know, I tell the truth. But I would say that, you know, from the knowledge that I have, Djokovic is better than Murray. I think Murray is a fringe of a great player, but not up in the same category as the other guys, which is why he's never been able to win and why it was such a big deal when he won Wimbledon. I think that, he's a shade below the top. I don't think he's up in the same level with Djokovic. Doesn't mean he can't win, because any day anybody can win on any given day, but in this particular event, I think that Djokovic's a better player.
All right, so we've got it. We got two votes for Djokovic, so you want to put a little money on it. We're taking him. I haven't looked at the odds, but I'm assuming he's going to be a small favorite, probably a 3-2. And also I want to give a shout-out to Serena for making the French Open final. Probably the most dominant women's player in the history of the sport. Always like to give her a little shout-out. I feel like we're doing it a few times a year because she makes so many finals. But congratulations to her. Let's go on to a bit of odd sports news. Let's talk, going on the golf course, but not about the PGA. Did you see that alligator walking on Buffalo Creek Golf Course in Florida this past week?
I know you wanted to say Buffalo Grove Road, which is possible.
I meant to say it. That's right where we live. It had to come out of my mouth.
But, yeah, I did see it. It was pretty cool, actually. I couldn't believe the guy was still sitting there taking pictures. To me, that was a bigger shock because those things are pretty fast in a short run. So I was kind of laughing about that.
That thing looked like something out of a movie. I mean, I've seen alligators and crocodiles before on documentaries and stuff, and they're usually not as big as they appear in those sci-fi movies, but this thing looked like it was generated by a computer. It was wallowing around, and like you said, major props, a legendary move by those people in the golf cart to get that film. I mean, if that thing turned around and started running at him, I think they would have been fresh meat. We might have never seen that video, but, I mean, that thing was enormous. It was, I think, 17 feet long, straight out of a movie. I don't know if I'd have the balls to golf at that course. I mean, honestly, I think I'd crap myself if I saw that.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, again, in Florida, in those courses, there is a lot. Listen, in the desert, there's a lot of snakes on the course. So, you know, you kind of get used to it. You know, you stay away from those areas that could create problems, and typically you won't have a problem. Obviously, that thing was giant. It was like a semi-truck.
Unbelievable. And now we get to our favorite part of the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. So we had an interesting week, and I think the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, what is going on in the AL Central? I mean, a couple weeks ago, even a week ago, we're praising the Sox. They're pitching great. They're not even hitting that well, but they're first place in the division. And now the division has been upturned. The Royals are back on top, even with losing Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon. I mean, this division, I think you'd have to say right now, is probably the most exciting in baseball.
It's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, if you like crappy baseball, it's really exciting. I mean, you know, I haven't seen a lot I really like. I mean, Kansas City got lucky. Don't get me wrong. They're still the best. You know, they're the champion until knocked off, but they've looked awful this year in doing it and really making a lot of errors in my opinion and not good. The White Sox blew the blown weekend against Kansas City. They had them down 5 and couldn't win. They had them down 7 in the bottom and 6 in the bottom of the ninth inning and couldn't win. And I mean, you cannot give up to these teams and come out. Now, what the hell's wrong with their closers and their relievers? I mean, you knew Chris Sale was going to lose a game somewhere and go into a stretch. Like every team goes into these. But to me, the division is horrible. I want every time I watch those guys play, I want to throw up the whole division because, you know, Kansas City has been awful on defense, which was their trademark. Detroit is a scary thing. They just, you can never understand why they're not great. I mean, their lineup is unbelievable and they just can't ever get past the hump. Cleveland's got an excuse every single year. And the White Sox, you know, obviously I was hoping for the White Sox. I hoped they were going to cook. And, I mean, they won a great game the other day when they played the Mets. And Todd Frazier had a home run late in the game to tie it. And then they won in extra innings. But they just don't, to me, you know, I don't think Robin Ventura is the right guy for that job. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think he is either. I think, though, when I'm looking at all four of these teams, if one team is going to make a run, I think deep, I think it has to be the Sox, and I think it's because of their pitching staff. I know they had, you know, arguably the worst stretch of relief appearances in the history of baseball this past week. But you know, you look at their starters and what the relievers had been doing prior to that, and you know what their bats are kind of starting to do. I mean, Todd Frazier, you know, the guy's power numbers are insane, and he's hitting about 230. But you know, if he hits 40 bombs, you know, he can hit 230 and be, you know, the second coming of Adam Dunn. And, you know, look at Jose Abreu is probably the most disappointing Sox hitter right now, I think, relative to his talent. I mean, he's hit about 250, 6 bombs, nothing great. But, you know, he starts to turn around. I mean, I love Adam Eaton. Tyler Saladino is starting to pick it up. He's hitting about 290. I mean, Melky Cabrera, Abisail Garcia. I think this team has a shot if they can turn it around. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen that, you know, that playoff spirit in which I've seen from teams like, you know, like the Cubbies, the Giants. So I haven't seen it yet. But I think if there's one team to make a run, I think it would be the Sox.
Well, you know, again, now you go back to the theory that when you're playing Kansas City, it's only a 6-inning game. So, you know, the Sox do not have that kind of bullpen. I mean, Quintana and Sale and Rodon have been terrific. But, again, you saw what happened with Quintana the other day. Pitched a great game, pitched in the 7th with no runs and still lost the game. So I don't see – I'm not as optimistic on the Sox as much as I'd like to be. Unfortunately, Kansas City, unlike the Yankees, because the Yankees got a nice back end of the bullpen too, but Kansas City, they can play the front end too. And, you know, even with their struggling with Ventura, who was supposed to be their ace, struggling, you know, Duffy's come up and done well. And with those guys, you got to get through 6 and you got a chance to win the game. And Cleveland is coming. But listen, I hope it's the Sox. I just don't see it.
I see. And Marlon Byrd came out this week, got suspended for 162 games. For those counting at home, that is a full major league season, and got quite a bit of backlash on Twitter from some major league pitchers. You know, Jeremy Guthrie came out and said, Marlon Byrd is a joke. All you cheaters are a joke. Do it the right way one time. Accept your ups and downs. Justin Verlander came out and said something. Mark Mulder, he gone with the Hawk Harrelson voice. He said he's not surprised. Dan Heron says, can I get back all the home runs he hit off me? You know, what are your thoughts on the suspension and about what people are saying about Marlon Byrd?
Well, I mean, listen, this is his second go-around, so I think he should be thrown out of the league. I don't think he should. I think it should be a lifetime ban. See, I don't like the pussy rules, because this is his second offense. But this is Major League Baseball, and you know, again, it comes back to the money. I mean, you know, there was a guy named Steve Howe that had 82 chances to keep coming back, and you know what? If you're going to have the rule, then have the rule, and the rule should be, if you get caught once and it can be proved that it was a legitimate mistake, you know, if it was, you know, there's, because there are some combinations that do create the same effect. Now, again, I'm not agreeing that you should put the combinations in, but I can give a guy one shot. I give everybody a chance to make one mistake, but the second time it should be over. Goodbye. I mean,
so so what's your first mistake? How many games do you get suspended?
I think 50 is a good number. I mean, I like 50 or even a half a season. I mean, at the end of the day, Xander, you got, if you're going to have the rule in place, now I actually believe at some point in time, and not too far off, steroids are going to be legal, because the truth of the matter is that if everybody used them, they would use them, and they'll make them safer and better. And what they're really for is they make you able to heal quicker and faster. And the game is so much about the money, and you see these guys breaking down on a regular basis. I mean, I've never seen so many injuries and so many things going on in sports, but these guys are so tightly wound, and you're going to see that they're going to start to figure out a way to get these medications in, because they really help you stay healthy. Not that they only have to help you get the ball farther, but they help you stay healthy. And when you do get injured, they help you recover faster, which is why a lot of these guys sneak off to the other side of the world to have their blood transfused. You know, it's a whole big deal. It's a big conversation, but right now we're going to have to stop it out here for a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, or Xander and Bubba. And make sure, if you ever miss an episode, you can go to libertytalk.fm and download it, because we want to make sure that you're getting it. And we got some special plans coming up for our new investing season as well. And of course, we're going to be more active in the investing community all the way around this year. So make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and check it out. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. You know, we're on segment number 4, and that means a little more baseball to talk about. I think big storyline coming out of Philly a couple days ago. Ryan Howard is getting benched for the weekend series in favor of Tommy Joseph. You know, Ryan Howard, you know, they both play the same position. Tommy Joseph used to be a catcher, moving to first base. Ryan Howard getting benched because of his disgusting 153 batting average. I was trying to think of a word that would signify how terrible that is. I couldn't really come up with one. But you know what? I got to respect the guy for coming out and saying, you know, he understands the move. You know, I've always thought of Ryan Howard. When I think of him, right when I first started watching baseball, you know, very seriously, Ryan Howard, you know, was that power hitter. The embodiment of power hitting in Major League Baseball for 2 or 3 years was Ryan Howard. I mean, the guy, I think, hit 250 home run seasons very early in his career. So I can't help but thinking about, every time I think about Ryan Howard, I just think about how many home runs he hit. But I mean, yeah, I don't think he's had a great year, I think, since 2011, and that was almost a half decade ago. So yeah, I see where the Phillies are going with this. I mean, they were playing great baseball, and they're about 500 now. They're still in the hunt a little bit, but I see where the move's coming from. You know, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, you know where he's going, right? He's going to the American League. He's getting traded this year. I mean, you know, the bottom line is somebody's going to need a hitter, and he actually had some pretty good games this year. Again, he's just, I think, obviously doesn't get to play enough. He's on a team that looked like they were really good, but they're really not, which everybody figured. And I mean, Philadelphia is making the decision like the Cubs made a couple of years ago, and they're going for it with their young guns. And listen, they got some great talent on that team, and I think they're going to build a nice team. And it's time to say goodbye to Ryan Howard. I mean, he's always been a classy guy, was an unbelievable hitter, and now you'll see him. He'll be in the American League somewhere because he can still play first, but also as a DH and as a left-handed power hitter coming off the bench. So I think it's the right move for Philadelphia. I think you got to love their team and their enthusiasm. I mean, they got some, you know, Nola and Franco and a whole bunch of time. And Joseph, I mean, they got a whole bunch, a whole stash full of players that are going to be really good players. And I think they're going to be really a team to be reckoned with in the future. And I think that they had an unbelievable start. And we were talking, oh, maybe they're going to, maybe we made a mistake. And of course, as you know, and we know from probability models, that usually the probabilities do play out. And of course, then they went and lost six in a row or seven in a row, and they're no longer in the running. But I think they had a nice team. And but the problem is they can't score and they can't hit, so they might as well start breaking something. And I think that in the six games they lost in a row, they scored 11 runs. So
They're 1-9 in their last 10. And I just don't think, you know, I they were playing great, you know, as of, you know, a week ago. Before this huge stretch of losses, but I didn't see them, you know, keeping this up for the whole year. I mean, you got the Mets and the Nationals, who I think are clearly better teams than them. So I think this is a good move. If they happen to make a miraculous run, it'd be cool to see Ryan Howard step up a little bit and do something, because, you know, how soon we forget that the guy was a key cog on that World Series team. You know, I don't know how long, about 7 years ago.
100 years ago. Listen, he was great. But you know what? That's the point. In baseball, especially in the National League, you get old, it's hard. I mean, look at my guy. I knew this. I called it early in the year. I said the number one guy to get is Big Poppy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is not – I mean, he's playing like he's 20 again. And of course, he's going to go out on top and – he just continues to amaze, and from a guy who got cut to a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer, he'll be the first DH ever in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and how about Big Poppy? How about that whole lineup? I mean, that was one of the hottest hitting weeks I've ever seen from a team. And this, I was reading some stuff. You know, I do a lot of daily fantasy work, and you know, always reading these, you know, kind of stats beneath the stats. You know, weighted on base, Sierra, which is another form of field and independent pitching, ERA. And it was talking about the Red Sox lineup, I think, for the stretch of about a month. It was like 25 games. If you took their entire lineup and molded that, you know, averaged their stats into one hitter, they would have been like the 18th best hitter in the major leagues over that time. You think about a lineup with nine guys, to have that good of a statistical stretch where you'd be in the top 20 hitters individually, you know, averaged out. It was unbelievable. I mean, Mookie Betts became the first player ever to hit home runs in the first and second innings in two games in a row. I mean, Xander Bogaerts hitting 350, quickly becoming, you know, I think, you know, one of the best young players in this game. Who else have we got? Pedroia, you know, the former MVP.
How about JBJ? I mean, you know, he was the there was two big wild cards in this team as far as I'm concerned. I mean, look at what Mookie Betts did, the 5 home runs in two games. Unbelievable. Sick. Okay. Xander Bogaerts figured to be a star. Big Poppy has always been a star. You know, Pedroia is one of the hardest working guys in the game and just really good. But all of a sudden in camp, Farrell says, okay, Big Panda, you're out. Shaw, you're in. Guy's got, I think, 7 homers and 35 RBIs, and he's hitting about 290. Certainly didn't do his help any harm. And, of course, then Jackie Bradley Jr., who always had trouble with the stick. They were never worried about his speed or his fielding. But all of a sudden, he puts together, what was it, 29 in a row, and then he gets knocked down. As he comes up, we talked about this last year, he comes up to the plate, and then he goes on another little tear. And, you know, Bogaerts got 26 in a row. But the key is, and then this Blake Sweetheart, who was going to be a catcher, who's now going to be groomed to left fielders. He's had a good run. So you're getting great play from all of your guys, and that is what makes the whole thing rumble. And, you know, again, and they're getting away with some pretty crappy pitching overall. I mean, you know, David Price got over 5 ERA. I mean, that's not exactly very good.
No, it's not. And I think that's going to be the key for this Red Sox team. You know, not really the regular season. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, their pitching is not great. But I think this offense is so overpowering that it'll win them a lot of games that they wouldn't normally win. But when we're talking about playoffs, I mean, the team needs to step up. I mean, David Price is not pitching as bad as his ERA would suggest, but even still, he's not pitching great. The strikeout numbers aren't as high this year, and he's getting hit a little harder. But, I mean, we look at the rest of that rotation. I mean, Clay Buchholz got kicked out finally. You know, that was the past 2 years have been a disaster for him. You got Joe Kelly, got roughed up the other night. He's been pitching, you know, very average this year. You know, it hasn't been great. The bullpen hasn't been great. I mean, you got Craig Kimbrel, you know, who I think you can make an argument is the best closer in the league. But yeah, I really worry the most about the starting pitching, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Sox came and got some arms, or at least a key arm, you know, during the trade deadline, because Baltimore is right on their heels. I mean, they're one game back, and they got some mashers. I mean, how about Mark Trumbull this year? I mean, is that guy unbelievable or what?
Well, I mean, you know, he look at the guy always had the talent, always liked him, always got hurt. All of a sudden, he found some time, and he did this whole analysis and this whole swing thing. He's now realizing the talents that he had. But I think that, you know, one of the things I want to get to before we get to the break is I think that, as we thought, San Francisco is kind of running away. I mean, not that they're going to run away, but they're getting well above the pack, and the Dodgers got problems. The Cubs, of course, have just been the Cubs. It looks to me the race is going to be in the AL West, Texas and Seattle, and maybe California gets back in there. And the
Mets.
Don't
count out Houston.
And I'm counting them out. They got no shot.
They're 8-2 in their last 10. George Springer's a great leadoff.
They got no shot. Goodbye, Houston. And I think the Mets and Washington will fight it down. And I think the other division, I think anybody in the AL East, even as old and ugly as the Yankees are, that division is pretty rough. They are missing some real strong arms there. But, of course, I think that overall, the Cubs right now are just by far the best team in baseball, wire to wire. I mean, this lackey is 400 years old. He just keeps up and pitching good games. I mean, it's amazing. But what's
and
more
of course,
amazing?
I go to the one Cubs game when they lose 5-0.
I know, and I had the pitcher too, and he didn't get the win. And that really pissed me off even more. Kazmir, you have Arrieta Kazmir, but that'll do it for the Sporting Edge. We want to remind you that. If you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. Between the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge, we're getting about 230,000 downloads a month now, and we'd love to count you as one of them. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Everybody have a great weekend. We always appreciate sharing time with you. We'll be back next weekend, same time, same place. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.